right? God is good all the time. But before we get started, I'd like to pray, and also want to pray for, don't have a list, you know, of people that we need to pray for today, but how many of you have a prayer need this morning? Just raise your hand. Okay, see? There's lots of people, right? So we're going to pray for you, and we're going to pray for the service this morning. Father, I thank you today for your presence among us, for your love, for your caring, for your grace, your mercy, your ability to help us in the times of hopelessness, Lord, in the times of need, in times of sickness. Father, you are there, for you are a good, good Father, like we sang this morning to you. And we are here this morning to hear from you because we know you have a word for us today. And we know that you want every person in this room to receive from you a gift, a nugget, something that they can hold on to this week, Father. So we pray, Lord, we ask God that your power would just come and your Holy Spirit would be our guide and our leader today. And we pray for this church, Father. We pray for our placement in this community, Lord. We pray that we will be a light to the houses that are around us and in the village and outside of the village, Lord, that God, you, by your Spirit, would draw many into this place today and throughout this month and the months to come, because you have promised us so many wonderful things, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about faith in action today. Doesn't that sound exciting? I like action, don't you? I don't know. I don't like anything boring. I like things to happen. So, Tammy's laughing. So we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. And just going to read a couple of things to you here. But how do we put our faith in action? How do we do that? Right? God is always on the move, isn't he? He is always on the move. And I always like to be in the move with him, right? So this faith lesson that we're going to look at today is something he gave me a couple of months ago because he knows I have to have time to prepare for things when he tells me to do them. He says he can't just drop it in my lap one day before I have to do it. So a couple of months ago, I was praying and doing my devotions and reading, and he said, you're going to do something on faith at church on Sunday. I said, okay. But months went by, and I thought, did I really hear him right on that? You know, and then Pastor Larry called and said, would you be able to do the service? Because we know they're away this weekend. And the first word that popped into my head, guess what that was? Faith, right? Okay, I hear you, Lord. But anyway, and I'm going to just read something from chapter 10 of Hebrews before we get started today. It's verse 35. And it says, do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it has a glorious and great reward. You know, we're living in a time right now when it's easy to kind of throw away our confidence, isn't it? Because so many things around us are unraveling, right? Falling apart. And we're trying to stand on this solid rock that's Jesus. But God is saying to us, don't fling away your fearless confidence. Then he says, for you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy the full of what is promised. I love the way he puts that at the end. You're going to receive something full that has been promised, right? Now, probably in our natural state, we would go, oh, dear, we're going to have some difficult times, and, well, we can worry about that a couple of years or whatever. But he's saying here, you're going to get through this. You're going to pass through this, and then you are going to receive the full reward that he promised. Has God made any promises to you? Has he? Has he made any promises to this church? Wow. You know, when I look at this building and sit in this building, I think, wow, we were here from the beginning when we started to build, and it wasn't very pretty when we started. it was like a farm creamery kind of thing, you know? But he promised, right? He promised, and this church is a miracle because we are sitting in a church that is paid for. That is a miracle. This was, you know, we're talking millions here, you know? So. And yet, and then he's saying, but I have more for you. I have a family center I'm planning for you. And he also said, you know, you're going to have 1,000 people. Wow. Can you wrap your brain around that one? You know? Isn't that exciting? He promised. Okay. He says, yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous shall live by faith. And so our topic of faith today is about how faith kind of works. How does it go into action? So in Hebrews chapter 11, and we all know this, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so it's going to be stretched out a little bit because I really need things to be explained to me when I read it. So I don't read the King James because that's a little hard. So I read Amplified. So now faith is the assurance, it is the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? So it says it's a title deed. What's a title deed? Do you know? When we bought our house, it wouldn't have been our house if we didn't have a deed that says it's our house, right? And we paid money to get it, correct? So God is saying to us, faith is like this title deed of something that we own from God. Not something we do, but something that we own from him. Because you know what? He is faith. Whatever we have as believers, we have because he already is it. He's healing. He's not something he's going to find somewhere and give it to you. He's already it, right? He is your provider because that's what he says. It took me a while to get that, you know, years ago when I was learning about the Lord and growing because I like to grow in the Lord. I do. The first time when I first got saved, I was dragged to a Bible study. That's why God gave me the love for Bible studies. He planted that seed in me at a very young age in him. Prayer was another one. First time I went to a prayer meeting, and you all know this because I hear people say this, I can't pray. I couldn't pray, couldn't do it. But they asked me to pray, imagine that. How could they do that to me, you know? But anyway, faith, okay, is that we have to believe that God exists, correct? And that he is the provider of all good things for us. So, it would help if I got to the right page here. I'm on page 7 when I'm supposed to be on page 1, so let's get back after the first service. All right, so we have this title deed to faith from God. It also says in here in the Amplified Version that it is divinely guaranteed. What does it mean when God says to you, this faith that I have, that you have ownership to in me, the Lord, right, is divinely guaranteed. What is it when something is guaranteed for you? That says, wow, it's backed up by something, isn't it? This whole thing about faith is backed up by God. Can it get any more powerful than that, right? And then it says that it is the evidence of things not seen and the conviction of their reality. When God speaks something to us, like he's spoken to as a church about the family center, do we really, really believe that even though we can't see it yet, do we believe that it's going to happen? See, in reality, God spoke it, so if he says it, it's going to happen, right? Right? Okay. So it's interesting, but then it says in verse 2, it says that by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. Wow, we've got a deed here, we've got a divine guarantee, and also we have approval. That says a lot about faith, doesn't it, and what it is. Okay, so faith is based on substance that is not yet seen or experienced by the 5 physical senses. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. Do you know that in this chapter in Hebrews, And, you know, I'm going to call this the list. Okay? God has a list. Isn't that neat? I have a list, too. I write down my shopping things on my list, you know, messages, lists, right? God has a list. On this list, he's got all these people that he calls the heroes of faith. And actually, faith is mentioned 18 times in Hebrews 11. Do you think he's trying to tell us something? He is very interesting. He talked about the faith of Abel. Abel was the son of Adam and Eve, and he presented a good sacrifice to the Lord, a worship sacrifice to the Lord. He talked about Enoch, which we're going to expand on this morning. He talked about Noah, who built an ark, a boat in the middle of somewhere where there was no water. He talked about Abraham, who was told to leave his homeland and follow God to, he didn't know where he was going, right? And now think of the faith of these guys. Imagine that. All right, Tammy, God's going to tell you, go move to China tomorrow. How would you feel about that? Right? Yeah, there you go, right? So many, we see Gideon, we see Samson, we see David, Samuel, and all the prophets, all of them stepped out in faith and followed what God spoke to them. That is faith in action, okay? It really is. So this morning we're gonna look at Enoch. How many of you are familiar with Enoch? You know, Enoch was only given 4 verses in Genesis. Imagine that, 4 verses. He's the one that God took up to heaven, and he only gets 4 verses? Well, we're gonna find out what those 4 verses were all about this morning. So turn with me, if you're in your Bibles, to Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to read verse. Well, first of all, let me say this. Enoch was a descendant of Seth, okay? Seth was a child of Adam. It says in Genesis 5:3, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. So Seth was a relative of Enoch. Now, Enoch was the 7th generation after Adam. Okay? And so he was probably about 2 generations before Noah. So the time that he lived in was a very hard time, because we know in Noah's day what happened, right? We know what God said about the people that lived in that day. So Seth, Genesis 5:21-24, let me read that to you. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God 300 years after the birth of Methuselah and had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. All in reverent fear and obedience, Enoch walked with God, and he was not found among men because God took him away to be with him. Okay, so here's what it's saying about Enoch. He was 65 years old when he had a son named Methuselah. So at 65, something happened to him, because after that, it says he walked with God 300 years. Now, sometimes it's hard to say, why are people so old in the Bible? I mean, good Lord, I know I'm old now, but I can't imagine like adding 300 years to my age or even more, you know? But back then, you know, they lived longer before the flood. God declared after the flood that man would only live 120 years. But during this time, they lived a long life. And so he was 65 years old. And then something happened to him. Something happened in his spirit, because it says that after that, he walked with God for 300 years. Isn't that something? You know? And sometimes we just read, oh, he was 65, he had a son, and then blah, 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 right? But something happened at age 65 in him. It doesn't say he walked with God for 365 days. That's how long he lived. But for 300 years, because God, something happened. All right. So God goes on a little bit further, because it's hard for us to understand how things can be, like our faith, how we can have faith in something that we haven't seen, something tangible that we can't touch. Only a word from the Lord, right? Gives us a word. Here's what's going to happen. Believe it. All right. So if we go a little further to verse 3, it says, "By," and this is what he wants us to know. He says, by faith, we understand that the world, the universe, were made and framed and created and formed and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things which are visible." So God took something. He looked. There was nothing for him to use to make something of. He spoke it into existence. What does that say about our words that we speak? Wow. He says, "I want you to understand this faith, because this faith is something that you hold on to, because you've gotten a word from me, and even if you don't see it, you hold on to it. You don't let go of it, because that's how I created this world. I created it with the words of my mouth, and it came into being. There was nothing there that I created it from." So if God has the power to do that, how much more power does he have to give us the things that he has promised us? Has his power changed? Has it diminished? It hasn't. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible tells us. You know, it's, to me, it is just such a privilege when I can come together with our prayer people, because when we pray together, it kind of sets in motion some things that God wants to do, you know? And part of being part of the prayer team is seeing when God answers, and it is amazing. You know, we asked and he answered. Okay. Faith is not an emotion. It's not a theory in our head, okay? It's not about how we feel. It's not a I think, but it's a I know, okay? I know it here in my spirit. I know who I believe in, and I know that he is able to do what he has promised for that day, okay? So if God says something to us, and we this was in 2 Timothy, we believe, okay, God, you said it. If we don't believe what he says, we are calling him a liar. We have to believe what he says, because his word will never come back void. It'll always do what it's sent forth to do. See, the day when faith is revealed to us, great things start to happen. Faith is based on the integrity of the one who is calling for the faith, and that's God. God is calling for the faith. He's saying, "I am faith, and you can receive this. You have a title deed to this. You have a divine guarantee to this. And you have, the promise from me that it will happen," okay? So faith is based on the integrity of God, and you don't get any more integrity than him. He's the greatest one out there. Who's the one who's calling this? It's God. Faith is the key thing we need if we want to experience God and if we want to hear him. God is into relationships. He really is. He wants to talk. I mean, what would be the point if we don't hear him, right? How do we know how to run his kingdom if we don't hear him or believe him or trust him with the things that he gives us? He says, "The righteous shall live by faith." You know, faith is our normal. You ever think about that? What's your normal? Well, my life, I do this, this, and this. Faith is our normal. Faith is our normal because it's built on God and it's a trust in God. It's not an event, okay? Faith is not an event. It's not something we just believe in for the moment for that particular purpose. Faith is a lifestyle, and it's based on the substance of who God is. So we're going to look at Enoch again. And I'm going to read, you don't have to turn to this, but I'm going to read Jude. There isn't a lot about Enoch in the Bible, but there is, there are little tidbits here and there. And so in Jude 14, Jude is only one chapter, it tells us a little bit about Enoch and about the time that he lived. It was kind of almost like a Sodom and Gomorrah time, bad time, lots of stuff going on. Hard to, you know, a lot of the believers in that day may have walked away from the Lord and gone in a different direction. A lot of compromise went on, because we know what God said to Noah when it came two generations later, that he was very upset with the way people were living without him. So the flood came, okay? Judgment came. So this is about Enoch, and he says, and these people that Enoch, it was about these people that Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied when he said, look, the Lord came with myriads of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds they had done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh and cruel things ungodly sinners have spoken against him, who is the Lord. These people are habitual murderers, griping and complaining, following after their own desires, controlled by passion. They speak arrogantly, pretending admiration and flattering people to gain an advantage. Oh, it sounds like the evening news at my house sometimes, doesn't it? So this is where Enoch was at the moment. He was in a place where the Lord, I gotta get back to Hebrews here, was showing him that, you know, he was in a generation that there was a lot going on. But Enoch made his position clear in a hostile environment. How do we make our position clear in the Lord in a hostile environment, right? We see so much going on today. We have to stand strong. We have, it, you know, like I said, faith is not an event. Faith is a lifestyle. He didn't follow the culture of his day. He walked with God. That was his testimony. Imagine that. Is it hard to not follow the culture of our day? Sometimes, you know. But God is saying that this Enoch, he made the list here in Hebrews 11, along with so many of the others that walked in faith, even though some of them didn't even see the end to that. They saw it when they got to heaven, but, you know, he believed and he stood strong in the Lord. Mm-hmm. His testimony was that he walked with God. So what, when I look at this story of Enoch, I think, imagine what it's like to be living that close to God, that God would, in his own heart, would say, I see how faithful he is in following me. I see him obeying me. I see him walking in faith. I see him going and telling people to get their lives turned around. Imagine God looking at him and being so pleased with him that he says, I'm taking him out of here. I'm taking him out. I'm bringing him home. That's a rapture. You know, that is a rapture. Enoch, his testimony was that he walked with God. How will we ever know what God wants if we don't walk with him? How will we ever know, you know, what he wants for us if we don't hear his voice, right? We need that. We need to hear him every day to direct us and guide us, you know? When things are going a little wrong, you know, and you feel this tension and anxiety in your life, you know, that's not God. That's the enemy trying to get at you. God leads you in peace and in trust. He wants us to put our hope in him. Enoch was one that put his hope in the Lord. We just recently finished a study in our life group called, it was on the rapture, by David Jeremiah. And I was thinking, you know, you hear a lot about that today. Maybe you don't know what the rapture is. Well, there's scriptures in the Bible that says before God's wrath hits, before we go into the tribulation or the end times, God's going to take us out. He took Enoch out. He had a rapture before the actual flood came and the judgments came on the earth. And he's going to do the same for us. But we have to walk with him. We have to listen. We have to hear what he's saying to the church. And that was said in Revelation to every church. Listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. because God is looking for people that will enjoy his presence, that will invite him into their home every day, that will listen to him when he talks, that will honor him and bless him and worship him and praise him. And so we're going to go to prayer now, and then we're going to have communion.